This is Karen Testerman on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
And this hour is being sponsored by Mary Murphy, America's first independent Schwab franchise branch owner. Don't forget to take advantage of those financial workshops that are offered in her office in Nashua on Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. And those are not, there's no charge to attend those. You just need to give Mary a call and let her know that you're coming at 595-0581, 595-0581.
Before we go on much further, I wanted to say that we have certainly come a long way in how we treat our returning veterans. My husband, who is a Vietnam vet, and I went to the welcome home ceremony on Saturday. It was great to see many of his comrades in arms receiving accolades. It was a far cry from the welcome home that my father received coming home from serving with the 442nd Go for Broke Battalion during World War II. But I can remember during December of 1972 when my friend's father happened to walk by while we were on the phone and said, "Is that Karen?" She answered in the affirmative, and he said, "Tell her, don't worry, Dave is okay." I asked, "So how do I know when Dave isn't okay?" And she said, "Well, you would see us at your door." Well, that's not a comforting thought. It was better than the young boy who was delivering papers that morning, unbeknown to him, already had the newspapers had the name of his father having been downed over Hanoi. And the Air Force was not at his door, or having the protesters at the front gate harassing families as they came and went. I'm so glad that today's vets and their families don't suffer this same hostility. Or do they? What about the educational assistance that was cut, or the returning vet who was unemployed while having spent half of $1 million on Vice President Biden's night in Paris? Or the millions that Michelle can use to fly solo to Hawaii. One wonders, where are our priorities? But now back to Lieutenant Colonel Testerman.
So, Patrick, now you cover an area. You don't just cover the University of New Hampshire. What areas do you go into?
So, we've got a large area. Both for recruiting, because that's one of my jobs, is to recruit people to come into Air Force ROTC at the first time. And then my follow-on jobs are to retain them and obviously to train them. So we say recruit, retain, and train. But my area to do that for the recruiting portion, there's some nationwide areas, but the different detachments really take care of the rest of the nation. But we are responsible for most of New Hampshire. Extreme southern New Hampshire, actually, UMass Lowell picks up, but most of New Hampshire, and then all of Maine as well. So a pretty huge geographic area. And then the colleges, we have what we call crosstown colleges, and we have 10 of them. And these are colleges that students or cadets can attend, get their degree through that, but then come to the University of New Hampshire, Durham, to do their Air Force ROTC specific training. And because of the large area we cover, that can be a challenging thing. So, Granite State, we've got a campus right here in the Seacoast area, so that's an easier one. But when we look at going all the way out to New England College or University of Southern Maine or up to Plymouth State, that gives you an idea of the breadth of the drive. So some of these are 2 hours, maybe even 2 hours plus away, and so that can be a real challenge. But we do have agreements with those universities if people are pursuing those. For instance, Plymouth State has one of the best meteorology degree programs in the United States, one of the rare ones, actually, but definitely one of the best. Well, we have the capability of putting a cadet through the training up there, or the academic program up there, but then being able to come down here for the Air Force ROTC specific training. It's a huge commitment on the part of that cadet, obviously.
So are you the only ROTC commander in the area, or are you just the only Air Force ROTC commander?
So That's a good question. We've got two programs here at University of New Hampshire. One is the Air Force ROTC program, and then the Army also runs their ROTC program. We're in the same building, actually, and they're slightly different structured, but essentially the same sort of organization, very similar of a training program, but obviously geared for the Army. Then down in the as we get into the Boston area, there are several other ROTC units as well, is not just Army and Air Force, but also Navy, and then of course up at Norwich, where I went to, is the next closest ROTC unit, and there are all branches of ROTC right up there.
Now the Coast Guard, I keep going back to this because I realize that there are there's a couple of other militaries that we're, or at least military structures that we talk about, and that's the Merchant Marine Academy and the Coast Guard Academy. Do they have a ROTC program too?
I know they don't have the same sort of. You know, they do have some college programs, and I'm not really all that familiar with how they work, but they're not actual ROTC style.
Kevin, you've got an idea on this?
Yeah, the Merchant Marine Academies that you talked about, those are state there's several, there's state academies, and then there's the United States Merchant Marine Academy. And the United States Merchant Marine Academy is just like all the other service academies. You have to get a congressional appointment and compete to get in. The state maritime academies, I don't believe any of them have an ROTC detachment at them, but they have Navy and, believe it or not, Army.
interesting.
And the reason they have Army is doctrinally, the Army is required by doctrine that runs all the terminals and all the ports in the theater of operation. So there's Army at all of these, at all of those academies. Yeah.
So do you and Kevin work together, Pat?
Through Civil Air Patrol, we do. I'm actually up in the I participate in two of the squadrons, primarily with the Concord Squadron. But then I also do some flying out of Pease. But then the other thing I see is that Civil Air Patrol becomes a lead-in sometimes, not to the majority of their cadets, but to a significant number, into the Air Force ROTC and other ROTC programs, as well as other sources for service in the military. So some of my very strong cadets have come from a Civil Air Patrol background, and it's a different program, but it obviously has some good parallels. And probably one of the biggest is this emphasis on leadership and integrity.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, your program basically addresses what age group?
Our age groups run from 12, because in the community-based program, we run from 12 to 21. At 21 years old, a person has to stop being a cadet. Yes, you have to grow up.
Oh, darn.
and they must become a senior member. They can become a senior member at 18, but at 21, they have to. And if it's a school-based program, because we do have a few school-based programs, they can actually join the Civil Air Patrol while they're still 11. It's basically when they start the sixth grade. But for the most part, since we're community-based, we go with that concept. It's 12 to 21 years old.
Okay. And then, Pat, you pick them up when they're 18 or then they actually go to college, right?
Right. And actually, we can technically take a cadet as young as 14 with parental consent, because some kids do show up to college significantly younger than I did. I have not seen that. Generally, when they show up to me, they're 17 or 18 years old. If they come in later in their college career, obviously they might be older. We have a few that show up with either prior enlisted time, or maybe they've done something else between high school and college, and they show up to ROTC a little bit older. But I would say that my average freshman is like any other college freshman, 17, 18 years old, and then we... By the time they graduate, obviously, they're in their early 20s.
So now you stress leadership. Why is leadership so important?
Right now, I mean, that's what they are being trained to do. When a cadet graduates, he or she becomes a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. His or her job will be to lead. Now, some of them, like me, will go on to fly aircraft and may not be responsible really for people other than themselves, you know, in a single-seat aircraft, and then those around them. But they may not be in a formal leadership role for several years. But without a doubt, relatively quickly, they will be responsible for a lot. And it could be, again, the responsibility could be the awesome responsibility of a multimillion-dollar aircraft with multimillion-dollar weapons that can cause a lot of damage and save a lot of lives. Or it could be in the form of million or billion-dollar contracts or technology that they're working on. Or it could be, they could walk in as a brand new security forces, basically our law enforcement and security infantry sort of equivalent in the Air Force. They could walk in there and immediately be responsible for 20 or 30 young 17 to 20-year-old airmen, you know, with a few older non-commissioned officers. Or it could be a combination of all of those, and they will need to have, again, the big things they'll need to be able to do is to lead, because they are going to be the pointy end of the spear. They need to make those good leadership decisions, and they need to be the type of person that people will follow. And they also need to be good followers themselves. But also they need to have, again, that strong basis of core values, not an educational level where they know what the core values are, but that it's actually those values have really become part of them, because they are going to be put in, especially in this climate, in situations where they have to make really tough decisions. You know, there are right now young officers, 21, 22, 23 years old, out there today, who will have to make decisions in a limited amount of time with a limited amount of resources, where the legal, moral, ethical, and right parts of that equation don't line up perfectly. And they're going to have to make decisions that could cost people their lives, could cost them even criminal penalties, could cost them their own lives. And to do that, they need to have, again, those core values, but also a strong qualities, the strong qualities of leadership.
So you're trying to get them to do what I can't remember who it was that said that it didn't matter what you do when other people are watching, but when no one else is there, that you still follow through with a certain standard. So that's basically what you're encouraging.
And that's the basis. You know, again, our first core value is integrity first. And that is exactly that. They need to know what is right and then do it. Not because of any fear of getting caught or some sort of formulaic decision, but we need to train them to know what's right and then to go and do what's right without thinking.
Well, Patrick, how does somebody find out more or get in contact with you about the ROTC programs?
Okay, the best way to get a rough overview of what Air Force ROTC is and all the nuances of the program and requirements are to go to the website's actually pretty good, and it's afrotc.com. And that will give them the basic idea, as well as contact information for any school that has Air Force ROTC. So it's a good website. It's got a lot of good, and they do a good job of keeping it up to date. So that's one thing they can do. By all means, they can come in and talk to us. We're at Zais Hall, Z-A-I-S Hall, at University of New Hampshire, Durham, and or to give us a call at 603-862-1480. The biggest thing I would tell people, though, is if they are, you know, ROTC is a training program. Lots of people think we're a scholarship program, but we're a training program. But we do have scholarships, and that's one of our more famous parts, I guess. And they're very competitive. And one of the most important things I can pass on is that if they are interested in scholarships, the deadline is December 1st of their senior year. They need to have the application in. So junior year is when you should be looking at it.
Okay, now give us that phone number again.
It's area code 603
862-1480. Okay. So now, Pat and Kevin, what would what would the ideal person be who would be coming to you? Kevin, why don't you give us a quick overview?
Well, the people coming to the Civil Air Patrol as a cadet are somewhat of a they're the same population, but they're somewhat different than the ones coming to Pat. The cadets coming to me are most likely interested in aviation, but they don't have to be. They have a desire to improve themselves and be part of something larger than themselves. Understand that as a cadet in the Civil Air Patrol, they have no obligation to join the service. Many of them don't, but many of them, they, even though they don't join the service, they go on to provide rewarding careers in aviation and other avocations. So it's they just have to have a desire to excel.
And Pat, what are you looking for?
Again, we're looking for leadership qualities. So a few things, because we do have, I mean, it's very competitive right now. You can be in Air Force ROTC without a scholarship. The scholarships are very competitive, but even staying in Air Force ROTC all 4 years is very competitive. We're looking for kids who've got those qualities, though, of leadership. They need to have be strong students. To stay in ROTC, they're going to need to maintain a 2.5 3-point average. That's important. So they need to be strong students. And they need to have the basis of those core values. You know, we'll do a lot of core values training and stuff, but I can't make up for 17 years of prior maltraining.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much, Patrick. And this is Karen Testerman at the studios of WSM 1590. We'll be back on Monday. Don't forget to tune in on Monday. And don't forget to take advantage of those scholarships. That information will be up on the Facebook page for Karen Testerman. Thanks for being with us. And thanks, Kevin, for coming in studio.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Pat.